And then the gentleman with the gray hat over there.
Good morning, afternoon, whatever it is now. Bruce Kirkland from the Toronto Sun.
Check out Sun, eh?
this is a question. Could be for anyone, but perhaps I'll start it with Mr. Tarantino and Mr. Pitt. Tarantino because he made the movie, and Pitt because he is the main bastard and the avenging angel. And I'm wondering if this is a Jewish revenge fantasy made with a lot of comedy.
Yeah, that wouldn't be exactly how I would define it. 100%. I think, yeah, you can definitely say that. 100. Yeah, you can definitely say that, and it works completely as that way. That wouldn't be the section of the video store maybe I would put it in. but you know, it's funny. People have come up to me a lot, and they've asked me like, "Is it a fairy tale? Is it a Jewish wish fulfillment fantasy, or just a wish fulfillment fantasy anyway?" And well, there are aspects of that. All right, but to me, more than anything else, is exactly the way I look at it is this: is my characters changed the outcome of the war? Now, that didn't happen because my characters didn't exist. But if they had have existed, if there had have been a Friedrich Zoller who did what he did, Goebbels very well might have made a movie about him, because he did make a movie in the vein of this, or at that time of the war, and if that had happened, everything that happens later in the movie is plausible. All right? And so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
And Mr. Pitt, as the avenging angel?
Yes.
Elaborate. How do you see that particular part of the energy of the film?
Well, you know, first of all, it's definitely outrageous, which I was game for. You know, more than that, I appreciate the international cast, the bringing of all these people from different countries. That was true to the languages, their respective languages. He cast Germans for German, French for French, Americans for American, and so on and so forth. And Canadians for British.
Yeah.
But you get my point. And it was just a great camaraderie. And I got to say, none of us. None of us have seen the film yet. Quentin's kept it under wraps, under the golden curtain. So it's going to be really nice for us to all see it together tonight. Because we'd all been. All we know is, you know, we wrapped like 3 months ago, and we shot our respective parts, and suddenly here we are.
Yeah. So. I can say that being Jewish, that this is definitely a, for me, it's like kosher porn. It's something I fantasized about since I was a very young child, and it really was like I performed a sex scene when I beat that man to death, and the blood spreading. Well, you get the idea.
Short question to Mr. Tarantino. The first part is about, I read that you mentioned without Christoph Waltz you couldn't be able to make the film. Could you tell us why that was and what impressed you about him?
Well, the situation was this, is I realized I was writing a pretty impressive character fairly early on, when I was still dealing with pen and paper, when it came to Colonel Hans Landa. And one of the things about the character is the fact that he's a linguistic genius. It is just simply one of the aspects about the character. And I knew that whatever actor I cast to play this has to be as much of a linguistic genius as Landa is, or else he would never come off the page. He would be trapped on the page. An actor could do the best job they could have, they could try, but if they just didn't have that in as part of their character, it just wouldn't work. He would never be what he was on the page. So, having said that, I think I was quite rightfully proud of that character. So, I started casting actors in Germany, and I wasn't finding anybody who quite had everything that I needed, 100%. You know, they could do the poetry in this language, but they couldn't do the poetry in that language. They could do the poetry in this language and this language, but not in that language. And he had to be able to say the poetry in every language. And I literally had a moment where I didn't think I was going to find it. And I called the producers and said, look, if we can't find the right Londa, I'd rather just publish this script and do something else. And if I'm going to pull the plug, because I was financing the movie by that, I was, we were going to get our cash flow money on like Friday. This was Monday. And I go, if I'm going to pull the plug, I got to pull it now, this week, while it's still only my money involved. And so I go, if we don't find him, I'm pulling the plug on Thursday. And we're just going to publish the script, and that's going to be it. And the producers, Lawrence and everybody, they were very cool about it. They didn't overreact. They go, well, then you know what? Here's the deal. Then we just spend, you know, this week is just Londa, 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 Londa. And I can just tell you the day that Christoph came, walked in the room, sat down, and read two scenes. I remember thinking, and Lawrence was sitting right next to me, go, we're making a movie.
Thank you.
See, he's a sweet guy. He ain't so bad. He's misunderstood.
I just looked at Quentin as he was as Christoph was reading. And I could see Quentin's eyes, and I was like, oh my God. And he and Christoph, of course, walked out and thanked us, and he walked out and Quentin, we jumped up and go, high five, we're making a movie.
But you know, I gotta say one thing about that, just to say, you know, don't get me wrong, I wasn't being cavalier when I said I wouldn't make it. You know, this movie meant everything to me, but there was something, there was also something very liberating about knowing you wanted it exactly the way it had to be, and you would walk away from it rather than make a compromise of that sort. There was something very liberating about it, too. I mean, it wasn't cavalier, but there was something liberating that, look, this is either going to be right on or ain't going to be on at all.
The second part is you said you love all your characters. Could you love all the characters in this film as well?
Oh, well, you know, yes I can, because I love them like, you know, like, I love them from this God perspective, all right, because I am God as far as these characters are concerned. I created them, all right, and I love them from their perspective, all right, you know, they know where they're coming from, and so, yes, the answer is yes. I think one of the things that kind of comes out in the film, yes, there's bad guys, yes, there's this, but there is an aspect where everybody is everybody, and that comes out through the course of the film.
Question over there.
My name is Roland, Dutch Television. Mr. Tarantino, this is such a highly anticipated Hollywood production. Why have you decided to open here and come?
Oh, well, that was kind of a, that was always the goal, always the dream. Because to me, there's just no place like Cannes for filmmakers on the face of the earth. I mean, I've heard people quote back things I've said, oh, it's the Mount Olympus of cinema, it's the cinema Olympics, it's this, it's that, cinema nirvana. Well, it is. I mean, one of the things that's so wonderful about Cannes is, during this time here on the Riviera, cinema matters. It's important. I mean, even the things when people boo when they do this or that, and they're so annoying about this and that and the other, it's out of passion. It's not just images glazing over you. It matters. It means something. And then, and even also the aspect, the fact that all the world film press from the planet Earth, America, Finland, Iceland, Greenland, you know, they're all here. A couple from Canada. All right, you know. That's a country? I'm sorry.
Greenland got called out before Canada.
But there's something about them all being here and seeing your, and like, and you drop the movie, bam, at once. Everybody weighs in at the exact same time, and they argue and they jostle and they do this and they do that. And it's like the cat is out of the bag for the entire planet Earth. And I'm down with that. I am not an American filmmaker. I make movies for the planet Earth. And Cannes is the place that represents that.
Question here, question there, question here.
So W Radio in Colombia, right here.
Awesome.
Way behind this camera.
Thank you. I would like to know why, even today, your interest in doing films about the Second World War that was 64 years ago. So, what's the passion or the interest thing that the Second World War has to be?
Well, you know, I mean, on one level, it's just I like dealing in genres, all right? And, you know, there's westerns, there's war movies, there's musicals, there's swashbucklers, there's all kinds of things like that. And so to me, it's, it's another genre in movies that I've always really liked. And I've always really liked not only that, I like the subgenre aspect of genre, where, you know, there's war films, there's the big battle film, or there's the bunch of guys on a mission movie, or, you know, and so... So the thing that kind of sits me down and gets me to do it is I like the genre. Let me try a movie in that genre. I think that would be cool. Now, that's what sits me down to do it. Then, once I sit down and do it, then I start dealing with the war and start dealing with the implications of everything, and all that follows after it. But the thing that just sits me down to do it, hey, wouldn't it be fun to make a war movie?
Question over there.
Do you want one?
My name is Austin Nicholson from Morecambe, Iceland.
Where are you?
Here.
Oh, thank you.
I have a couple of questions for Tarantino. First, as a movie lover, would you have been able to, if in Shoshana's shoes, to burn all those movies?
It's not nothing. Okay, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. If I was Shoshana in Shoshana's situation where I could take out the entire Nazis and ultimately maybe win the war, I think maybe I could do that. But you could also look at it as, you know, the cinema itself. To me, it's also kind of, on one hand, it's a metaphor for the power of cinema. On the other hand, it's not even a metaphor at all. It's literal. It is the power of cinema is going to bring down the Third Reich. And I get a big kick out of that. But I remember there was at one point, I ended up not doing this way, but at one point I thought maybe Shoshana might start the fire. And she would take a reel of film and, you know, light it like a bomb and throw it in the pile. And then I was having the decision, okay, now what would she start the fire with? Would she start it with a band print of Grand Illusion? Or would she start it with the first reel of Jude Suss? All right? Because they both are different things, even though they would have a similar outcome, all right? You know, with Jude Suss, it would be Garibald's own creation bringing him down, all right? With Grand Illusion, it would be like Papa John is right there doing it himself.
Why is Bastards spelled like that?
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing.
Typo.
No, it's not a typo. here's the thing. I'm never going to explain that. You know, when you do an artistic flourish like that, to describe it, to explain it, is just take the piss out of it and invalidate the whole stroke in the first place. You know, Basquiat takes a letter L from a hotel room door and sticks it on his painting. If he describes why he did it, he might as well not have done it at all. So, there you go. That's my answer.
Before we give the mic to the lady over there, I have a question for both actresses. There are very specific references in the film about actresses. For instance, the moment that your Marcel sees you, he just goes, Daniel W. Physically, that you're wearing the kind of clothes that they wear. But did you, Eleni, have a Daniel W. or someone as a model? And then the same question will be addressed to Diana. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yes. Il y avait un truc incroyable à Berlin, c'est que Quentin a organisé un ciné-club toutes les semaines. Et on a beaucoup de films d'époque. J'ai vu un film avec Daniel Darieux, j'en avais déjà vu. Modèle, non, mais c'est. Et dans les films, et même dans cette époque même, la manière de s'habiller, la manière de se tenir, la manière de passer du temps à se coiffer, même dans des conditions absurdes comme pendant la guerre, où il y avait toujours une manière de faire. Oui, c'est inspirant de toute façon. Après, Shoshana avait quelque chose de comme les héroïnes de Tarantino, les plus violents et très matures, plus qu'à la limite ces femmes qui restaient des femmes à une époque où les femmes n'avaient pas la même importance. Donc, grâce à Tarantino, les femmes peuvent être déjà indépendantes dans un film d'époque, ce qui est déjà bien incroyable.
The same question, in a way, to Diane Kruger. One line says downward, forget Dietrich, forget Riefenstahl, there's only one, that's you. And now, were there any actresses of the time that you modeled your character on, and, excuse me, who gave you the idea that wearing what you wear to a little tavernica might, you know, make you go incognito?
Well, Quentin sort of briefed me on my character's background. For many, many weeks, actually. He made me watch quite a few old movies, talked to me about what my character's background would be in terms of, you know, she's supposed to be this big German movie star, but who's adored by the public because she stayed. She didn't leave when the war started. To me, who I was most inspired by was Hildegard Knig, who's a very famous German actress at the time. And she had a voice like that, and you know, and she always talked a bit too loud. So that was sort of my inspiration. But Quentin's idea, you like, what's her name again?
Yeah, there's a Hungarian actress called Ilona Massey.
Right.
All right, that started with MGM as a possible replacement for Jeanette MacDonald, and then later moved on to Universal, where they tried to turn into their Dietrich, and it didn't quite work out. But I've always been a huge fan of hers, and I always thought that if Bridget had gone to America, that it would have been Universal that offered her the contract, and her career would have probably mirrored that of Ilona Massey. One of the things that was funny that you say, well, one, she's Bridget von Hammersmark. She can't go incognito anywhere. So if she's the movie star, she's got to dress the movie star part. But the thing that was so funny about that outfit in particular is I'd seen the movie a while ago, and so we watched it together, and we're watching it, and lo and behold, Ilona Massey walks in a scene in almost an exact replica of what she was wearing in the La Louisiana Tavern, and our jaws hit the floor.
It's so true.
It's a movie called International Lady, who anyone who cares.
Question over there, and then over here.
Hello, CBC Radio Canada. I've heard that for a moment you considered Isabelle Huppert as one of your actresses in that film. How did you feel when you heard she would be the president of the festival? And do you think, in a way, even unconsciously, could be a handicap for the film in the competition?
I don't think it'll affect it at all. The thing about it is, nobody adores Isabelle Huppert more than myself. I mean, you know, I just read the whole big interview with her and Wes Anderson. I'll match Wes Anderson on Isabelle Huppert movies, man for man, any day of the fucking week, all right? And not only that, I mean, there is this aspect that I've always loved the film Heaven's Gate, and to me there is even though there's no stylistic things between this film and Heaven's Gate, I always had a little Heaven's Gate aspirations as far as the film is concerned. I mean, even particularly the opening credits scene was kind of like Christmas and Heaven's Gate. All right, but the thing is, and when I met her, we talked a lot about Heaven's Gate amongst other things, but... the thing is, it just didn't work out because of scheduling and timing wise and deal stuff, all that kind of stuff. There was no thing at all. So the thing about it is, I didn't think twice about it because I adore her and she likes me, and I'm sure that we will eventually work together. I can't wait for that day to happen. And so when it was brought up, I didn't have any fear about that at all, because there's no acrimony between us that I'm aware of at all. I am still her biggest fan, and I hope one day to work with her.
Hi, Brian Johnson from Claims Magazine in Canada.
Took the wrong time to try out my Canadian jokes, didn't I?
I will throw a question to Mike Myers. Okay. Mike, what's it like acting in a film that...
Hold on, go ahead.
Direct, and it was like acting a film that you didn't direct. And what particular fantasy does this role respond to in your psyche?
I'm the biggest Quentin Tarantino fan that you find. In terms of coming up and serving at the pleasure of the president, it was perhaps the greatest fantasy realized. My my parents are parents. Check, one, two. My parents were born in Liverpool, England. And my father was in the Royal Engineers, and my mother was in the Royal Air Force. You know, those ladies that had the, you know, big maps of England, and they would go, Jerry's over Nova, scramble big and hill. My mom was one of those ladies. And just World War II was talked about at the table constantly. And so, you know, I got a call, would you like to be, play a British general? And I did a jig, and I was very happy, and I'm still very happy. I kind of can't believe that I'm having this out-of-body experience at the moment. But, you know, World War II films are just, it's a fascinating genre. I'm just very, very honored to be here. Honored with a U to be here.
The lady here behind
Hello.
The camera.
My name is Christina from German Radio. I have a question for the German actors. Could you tell us about the experience making a film with Quentin Tarantino and Brad Pitt? Is Hollywood feeling? And I think Christoph Waltz is getting the Golden Palme for the best actor. And Brad Pitt, are you able to speak in German now?
Yeah. Merci beaucoup.
I was subtitled for that. The experience, I find answering a question like that rather bewildering. What do you guess? It was a ride sort of above a dream. And Quentin is one of the most acute and astute and precise observers of everything. So to actually be in the hands of someone like that, you can just do what you're supposed to do without thinking. And one can rely on one's own subconscious in a way, because it's being taken care of. It's in the best hands. And then, I mean, speaking for myself, I just did it, and sort of referring to a remark of Quentin's before, and I sort of let go and sent my character back into the hands of its maker. Daniel?
What can I say? I mean, when I was 16, I watched Pulp Fiction in a movie theater, and after watching the movie, I said to my friend, one day I want to make a real movie. So 14 years later, this man called me and invited me to an audition, which was terrible. The only good thing is that there was no French version of the script. So Quentin said, what a shame that you can't do this scene in French. And then I started improvising French, because I'm half Spanish and I knew these two Americans who don't speak French anyway. So the word that I didn't know said it was in Spanish. Called and offered me the part, and I appreciate it very much, the trust in me, and the work was just a pleasure and a huge experience.
You know, I gotta say about Daniel, I gotta jump in here, and it's just the idea that, you know, Frederick Zoller is such an important character to the film, and I had never seen Goodbye Lenin, so I was watching these different films of different young German actors, and I've become very good friends with Tom Tickler, who not only is my friend, he actually translated for me the German the dialogue into German for me for the film. I called him up to ask him, could you recommend a good translator for my dialogue? And he just said, I'll do it, because I know what you want. And so he said, you got to see Goodbye Lenin. And when I watched Goodbye Lenin, I was like, that's my Zoller. That's my Zoller. That's him right there. I mean,
if Daniel's mother didn't meet Daniel's father, I don't know if I if, so we'd ever have the right soldier. I mean, he really, it was as I was watching, and then this guy stepping off the fucking page.
Question over here.
No, I would just like to add first, you know, the German actors don't get the chance that a lot of others do to break to perform on an international scale like the Americans. And let me tell you, there's a good three or four other actors that are not here today.
August
Diehl, Till Schweiger, who were just, I mean, they just amazing performances, and the three of us were talking about it. We went toe-to-toe, and we learned a few moves from these guys.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
For sure.
Pleasure.
They put it down. They put it down.
And August Diehl is going to have a baby, I think.
That is correct.
August Diehl
is right.
Having a baby.
Yeah.
So,
hey! August!
We make more little August Diehl.